You're listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Bark at the moon.
It's my favorite holiday.
Bark at the moon. It is. It's one of my favorite holidays, too. Did you know, fun fact, well, it's not fun, 32 years ago today, young River Phoenix died outside of Johnny Depp's nightclub, The Viper Room.
That was on Halloween?
Halloween 1993.
I don't know if I remembered that. I remember when it happened, but I didn't realize that it was on Halloween.
It was on Halloween night, yeah. And I've always said, because I've always been a big River Phoenix fan, I was alive for 6 months at the same time River Phoenix was, because he died when I was 6 months.
That's what I say about Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was alive for 6 months before Elvis died.
Well, being around for Elvis is a little bit cooler than River Phoenix, but River Phoenix is really cool nonetheless. But wow, that's funny we both say that. I was alive at the same time for 6 months with River Phoenix, and same with you for Elvis.
Yep, pretty cool. Well, I remember last episode, I was like, we're sitting really far apart because Jet has germs.
Now, how the turntables have turned.
I don't think you said that right, but yes, I understand. I am the sick one here, and yes, I don't know if you were the one that got me.
I guarantee I was. I feel okay. I went rock climbing last night, and everything's fine. But I still feel it in my nose. Like I have to blow my nose. I have to blow it out my knees.
Well, it's kind of funny because like right when we sat down to do this, he's like, I need to blow my nose. And I was like, there's nothing here. Don't do that. That's disgusting. I don't want to hear snot. Gross.
You don't like snot?
No, not at all.
Why snot?
Very funny. Anyways, I'm so excited for today. I love Halloween so much. Like, I am so in a good mood today, even though I can't breathe very well. I am in a good mood.
I am in such a good mood, even though I'm dying.
But at least I am not as congested as I was. Like, I don't know what you gave me yesterday.
I gave you NAC, 1,000 milligrams, and Lipitor C, or whatever. I don't know if I'm saying that first word right, but it's like Lipitor C and then NAC. And it boosts the vitamin C and it makes your sickness shorter lived.
Well, all I can say is like usually by the second day, because this would be day two, I just feel horrible. And
you need more of it today. I should have given it to you.
I just don't feel horrible. I just feel congested. Like it's almost like a cold. You know how you're like, I have a cold, but you can still function?
Yeah, that's what mine was.
Yeah, like, but mine always turns into like a sinus infection, and it always turns into like, oh, it goes in my chest, and then, you know, I just get really, really sick.
I have a roommate that's basically a doctor. Not really, but she just knows a lot of stuff. She saved her cat's life because they were gonna put him down, and she researched all this stuff and saved her cat's life from all these medications. She's super cool with that stuff. So she gave me all, she's like, when I was sick last week, I was like, I came home and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm dying. She was like, she brings me into her closet. She has like a million of these like supplements. And then now I'm taking it daily.
But and she's like, what are your symptoms?
Yeah. She's like, come into my pharmacy. It's like in her closet. It's, oh my gosh. So she knows her stuff. So I went to Natural Grocers and I got like NAC, Lipitor, I'm saying that wrong, but it's something like a vitamin C, B12, multivitamins, all this stuff.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I'll give you another one today.
Okay. Thank you.
More gooder.
More gooder. Well, I'm excited for this episode because we were going to have a guest, but she couldn't make it. And
she's right here.
Oh my gosh. She's not. She's not here. But anyways.
What?
Well, we'll talk about that later because we'll have her on later. But anyways, she would have been a fun guest to have. Yeah. Anyways, but let's talk a little bit about Halloween. It's kind of weird because like both of us didn't grow up here. Like we grew up in California. So I feel like our Halloweens were a little bit warmer than it is here.
Yes, I remember that. Well, in Texas, there was a couple years where it was a little cold because it did get kind of cold up in those mountains. But yeah, for the most part, it was like Like, nice.
Yeah, and so it was always like, oh my gosh, are you going out for Halloween? And you know what I mean? It was never like, oh my gosh, it's too cold to go trick-or-treating.
Or you have everyone dressing up in their cool stuff, or they're like, you know, and then they have like jackets on. It's like, wait, you're trying to be like a sexy, like girls would like dress up in like sexy wear, you know, and all that stuff. But then they have a big old coat on.
When is a good age to be like, okay, I'm done trick-or-treating? Like,
I would say 36.
Very funny.
Wait, you know what my cousin used to always say? She would always say, there are two types of people that don't get cold on Halloween. Penguins and sluts.
That's very funny.
Yeah, it's funny, huh? Anyway, age to be, I don't know. Maybe there's not. Well, I don't know, because it depends. Well, actually, no. Like, can you imagine me and Skylar, like, me and a bunch of other my age people just going trick-or-treating without kids? Like, if we don't have, like, kids or nephews or nieces or whatever, like, if we just showed up at 32 years old and I'm like, trick-or-treat, that would be kind of weird.
No, but I don't know. I used to, like, get annoyed when, like, because I loved passing out candy. I loved doing that and stuff. But, like, I used to get annoyed when I would be like, why are you here? You're in high school. Like, go home.
Yeah, but high school kids, you know what? You know what I thought of? High school kids, when they're doing that, they may just trying to be staying out of trouble. At least they're not partying, throwing up in someone's lawn.
Well, we don't know. They could be doing both.
Well, but at least they're spending less time doing the partying if they're out trick-or-treating.
I guess you're right. But I didn't dress up today because I don't feel well. But you sort of dressed up today. You want to tell everybody what you are since they can't see it?
Yes. Well, I'm dressing up later, full blown. But today I wanted to dress up for work, and I put on my it's a Levi's shirt, and it's, I would say, really, really, really California vibe. Would you?
I mean, yes, it does look California, but it kind of looks also like rustic.
That's my style. Rustic wear, California wear.
And it's got like mismatched like fabric sewn onto it, and then it's got like turtles and surfer
ticks on the back of it. That's like super cool. So I wanted to go for California. I feel like I look California up top.
Yeah,
I got my spiky hair and all that stuff, and then I'm wearing Wranglers and boots. So I'm a California cowboy, or a hippie cowboy.
Well said.
Thanks. But you know why I just thought of that? Because I didn't. In reality, I did not dress up.
You're like, I can make something out of this outfit right now.
I looked at my closet. I was like, oh, I can't really wear this. I wouldn't really wear this shirt on a normal day, just because I don't know. I like the shirt, but I was like, I'm gonna wear it. And I could just say it's a California vibe.
Okay, out of all the costumes that you've ever worn for Halloween, what was your most iconic costume that you created or you came up with or you thought would be fun for Halloween?
I don't know if I've ever had an iconic or epic one. Like, I've done a lot of cliche, like, 80s rock stars. I remember when I was young, though, when I was still in Tatchby, me and my friends thought it'd be funny to dress up as, like, girls. And I had long hair. But, like, back in the, I'll have to send you a picture. I had, like, long hair.
Okay.
Awful. And I look like a girl. Like, my mom, like, got girl stuff in her closet, and I dressed up as a girl, and it did not look like a guy dressing up as a girl. I just look like a girl. So I'm sure it just looked like, who's this little girl dressed up as? She just looks like a normal little girl. I was petrified when I think back on it.
That's kind of funny. I want to see a picture. Hopefully
I have a picture. Though,
hopefully you took a picture. But I would say, like, out of all my costumes, I would say one that I was really proud of that I came up with was I was a paper doll. And how I did that was I went to the Dollar Tree and I got the poster board. And I had somebody who could draw with a really thick marker, like a dress, like a girl's dress.
Ah.
And then I cut it out and then I punched holes in the top of it and I put a string through it and put it around around my body. And then what I did for like the hair is I did like a bow, and I did the exact same thing with the bow, like, you know, cut it out of the poster board. And then I just did that with every single like piece that I had on me. Like, so I did the bow and the dress and the shoes and I was a paper doll.
Do you have any pictures?
I don't know. No, because it was back when, like, I didn't. It was.
Sorry.
I didn't have, like, you know, we didn't have cell phones that we could take pictures of. And this was like, yeah, it was a long time ago. But I wish I would have, like, kept, like, some kind of picture. Because it was such a cute idea.
That is a really cool idea. Isn't it great about today's world now? Like, the one thing about technology that you can say is good is that everyone, well, at least I do, and I know you do, pictures. Like, pictures are everywhere now.
Yeah, and we can.
20 years ago, 30 years ago, it's like, you have a couple cool pictures of, like, your parents or, like, your siblings or whatever. And now it's like, I have a picture in my robe from this morning.
Okay, he's the only guy I know that wears a robe. If any guy is listening to this, do you wear a robe?
Or is Big Lebowski in the Big Lebowski?
Okay, I've never seen it.
How dare you.
Okay, so a couple things I wanted to get to.
Hugh Hefner.
Ew.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Yeah, anyway.
He wore a robe.
He did, but he was also like 120.
Leonardo
DiCaprio doesn't wear robes.
In that movie we watched.
Well, he was getting paid millions of dollars to wear a robe. I would too, if I had to pick up paid that
much. Hefner.
Anyway, okay, so I want to talk a little bit about some spooky stuff.
Some spooky stuff.
Since it's Halloween. I was thinking, I was like, oh my gosh, let's talk about some haunted locations.
Ooh, okay. Sorry, I was just stretching, so if my voice sounds very stretched, it was because I'm stretching.
You're so weird. Okay, so you may or may not have heard of some of these, so I'm going to start from the beginning.
Whiskey Pete's.
Whiskey Pete's is not haunted, except they do have the Bonnie and Clyde car.
Oh, that's cool. That probably has some energy radiating off of it.
For some of you that, well, I'm sure you all know what Whiskey Pete's is. It's a hotel that sits on the border of California and Nevada, and they have the death car there.
I don't have it at Buffalo Bills.
They don't have it at Buffalo Bills. The death car?
They have something at Buffalo Bills.
You are funny. Okay, so let's get into the first one. So, have you ever heard of the Waverly Hills Sanatorium?
The Waverly Hills what?
Sanatorium.
Sanatorium?
Yeah.
I don't even know if I know what a sanatorium. No, I have not. But I don't even know if I know what a sanatorium is.
Okay, so this is located in Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville.
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 Have you ever been to Kentucky?
I took a road trip from California to Tennessee. No.
No, Kentucky's above. Yeah. Okay, so a sanatorium. So what it is during the 1800s and early 1900s, there was a very bad disease going around. Can you guess what it is?
The plague.
No. It was called the White Death, but what was that?
The White Death. Cocaine.
No. It was tuberculosis.
Oh, I knew it.
Yeah, and so...
I did not know.
So it was very contagious, right? So the Waverly Hills Sanatorium, what it was it was this place where if you had TB, you got stuck in it. Like they like sent you to the sanatorium.
For how long?
As long as you had it. And I don't think you can get rid of it. And well, I think you can now, but.
So back then it was like you're kind of screwed because it's like. You know what? That always freaks me out is like a sane asylum. I know it's not an insane asylum, but like places that you can't get out of. Like, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, that's terrifying.
I never saw that, but...
How dare you? What?
Okay, so basically it was kind of like your final, like, stop before death. Like, you know, so a lot of people that would go to the, or get sent to the sanatorium knew they weren't coming out.
Especially back then, when?
This was the 1800s, early 1800s, and even into the 1900s.
Yeah, but 150 years ago? Yeah, no way. You're getting out of there.
Well, it was crazy because back in the day when they would send all these people there, like Louisville, Kentucky had the highest rate in America of people with TB. Yeah.
TB.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Louisville,
Kentucky. Anyways, I've been to Louisville, and I didn't even remember that Waverly Hills was there, because had I remembered that, I probably would have wanted to, like, go tour it, because you can tour it now and stuff, and, like, I don't know, you can just tour it.
Yeah, speaking of haunting, we need to go tour the Titanic exhibit.
But that's not going to be haunted, because that's the...
It's haunted because Leonardo DiCaprio is in there.
We're going to go to that, so don't worry about that.
That is very haunting.
Okay, so anyways, so it continued into, the hospital was open until 1924, so it continued all the way until like 1924. Okay, some of the legends. So let's talk about the legends, okay? The legend talked about a man in a white coat who was seen walking in the kitchen and smelling, and the smell of cooking food would come out of the kitchen. So it's like, oh my gosh, you walk in the kitchen, you're like, wait, so it smells like somebody's cooking.
Someone's making beef stew in here.
But how does that work if there's like no food?
You know what's so wild? I know that's, isn't that like smells from the other side can be relevant to us that are living, because my grandma has said that she had seen her mother, like she smelled sick. She was in her rocking chair, or like in her little like lazy boy chair, watching the news probably, smelled a cigarette in the kitchen. And that's what made her go in, and she saw her mother, her dead mother, in there, and she was smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, smells are a big one. Like that.
Yeah, that was so wild.
It's a trip, right? Anyway, okay, so that was one. let's see. So the fifth floor was supposedly haunted, and it consisted of two nurses' stations, a pantry, a linen room, a medicine room, and two medium-sized rooms. And both were rumored to have legends of, like hauntings and stuff like that. People hear disembodied voices. And the legend says that somebody jumped to their death from that floor.
Well, from the fifth floor?
Yeah.
Whoa. You know that hotels don't have 13 floors anymore?
I know. All because superstitions. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, obviously there is a 13th floor, but they name it something.
But it goes from 11, 12, 14. You know, I'm not very superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
also in room 502 in 1928, there was a nurse that committed suicide by hanging herself from the light fixture.
What year? 1908?
1928.
Oh, 1928. Dang.
If you think about it, 1928, yes, that was a long time ago, but that wasn't that long ago.
It was not that long ago. Like, my grandparents were born in 1931.
Oh,
and that would have been, like, their parents.
This says that she was taken over by depression, and that's what led her to suicide.
Can you imagine being depressed or, like, bipolar or, like, schizophrenia? Like, back in the 1900s, you were just crazy back then. Can you imagine, like, going to your husband or a doctor and being like, oh, my gosh, there's just something in my, like, I'm hearing stuff. And they're like, okay, you know, we're gonna take you somewhere. Don't worry. That's terrifying. And now they're just like, yeah, you're bipolar. Get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's one of the most haunted locations in America. The second one I want to talk about is The Shining.
Yes, I love that movie, by the way.
Anyways, I will help you. The Stanley Hotel. The Stanley Hotel is in Estes Park, Colorado.
Yes, I want to go see that. Have you been there?
I have not been there, but I have been to Fort Collins, and Fort Collins is, like, right next to.
I've been to Fort Collins, too. I didn't know it was right there.
Yeah, so it's like, really close, like, within, like, 20 miles.
Okay, you have not seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Have you seen The Shining?
Of course. I love The Shining. I love that movie. And did you know that Stephen King actually went there to write the movie?
You know what's funny is I heard Stephen King didn't like the movie.
Oh, I didn't hear that. But I just know that he went there and he had paranormal experiences while he was there writing the movie.
Mm-hmm. But then, because who did it? Stanley Kubrick? I heard that Stephen King didn't like Stanley Kubrick's interpretation of it.
Oh, well, isn't that interesting? I love the movie. Yeah, so.
Yeah, so, stop.
Don't get into your echolalia. Okay. So a little history about the Stanley Hotel. The Stanley Hotel was built in 1909 by Freeland Oscar Stanley. He was a successful inventor. He made his fortune with the Stanley Steamer Automobile.
Really?
Wait, now I want to sing that song.
What's the thing?
Call 1-800-STANLEY. Stanley Steamer.
What is it called? The Stanley Steamer Automobile?
The Stanley Steamer Automobile. So it was originally a luxury resort for Easterners seeking fresh air and a cure for tuberculosis.
The Stanley Hotel?
Yes. The hotel.
Can you imagine back in 1908 or whatever? Right. I know you guys can't see this. You'll have to Google. Oh, is that Jay Leno? You'll have to Google Stanley Steamer Automobile. But what a power move that was back in the day.
Oh, seriously. Those are beautiful cars.
Those are beautiful cars. We should bring these back.
Oh, my dad has one.
A Stanley Steamer hotel? Or, I mean, an automobile?
My dad has a Ford, actually. Anyway, okay, let's continue on. Okay, so obviously it became the inspiration for the novel The Shining in 1974. And today it's actually a historical landmark and is on the National Registry of Historical Places.
I wonder if you have to, can you just go there? You probably need a tour. It's like you need to schedule.
No, they have like tours. You could just go and like walk in and stuff. I guess my sister-in-law has been there because she's from Fort Collins.
That's when they filmed it, right? Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, oh some of the...
Seriously, Jack Nicholson in that movie was, like, flawless.
Yeah, he was really good.
That poor girl, though, I know, went through hell. What was that girl's name? She died. The actress.
I don't remember. But anyways, okay, so some of the paranormal activity that has gone on there is Room 217. So... This is one of the most famous haunted rooms. Okay, this is where a gas explosion in 1911 injured a housekeeper, Elizabeth Wilson. Guests have reported the spirit of Wilson, like, tucking them in for bed.
Really?
Yeah. And let's see. And people start feeling, like, weird when they're in that room. The fourth floor. Guests often report hearing the sounds of children. And I remember when I watched an interview with Stephen King, he talked about this. Like, children, like, running up and down the halls, playing, like, with the ball and stuff like that. Yeah. And it's
so
said to...
So Stephen King, you're saying... Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Stephen King actually, in real life, a long time ago, went there and stayed.
Yes.
And then wrote the... And then some of the stuff that he wrote in The Shining was some of his...
Yes, yes. Which one of those spirits is said to be the spirit of Flora Stanley, who's the original owner's wife.
Oh.
Oh, sorry. That was in the ballroom. Sorry. There was a ballroom and there's a phantom piano player. So you know where you can hear like piano, like the piano playing. You're like, I swear I hear piano. But then there's not like... Anybody like
playing it.
So that was Flora Stanley. Okay, other occurrences, visitors have reported flickering lights. See, that one I don't really take.
Yeah.
That happens at my house.
Yeah, that happens all the time. Yeah.
You know, things moving on their own, cold spots. Okay, cold spots is kind of an interesting one.
Cold spots, especially there. Yeah, I can see cold spots.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's an energy. Skylar went to this haunted place in Vegas where they have like Ted Bundy's stuff in there. And he says you can feel it in there. So I bet in the Stanley Hotel you can feel the energy.
There's also like a pet cemetery on the grounds. And there's a ghost of a golden retriever named Cassie who's said to roam the hotel.
I love Cassie.
That's kind of cute.
Don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery.
That was a good movie too.
Yeah, it was a good song.
Okay, the next one. Have you ever been to the Queen Mary?
No.
Okay, so you know where the Queen Mary is, right?
Yes, in Nebraska.
Okay. No, the Queen Mary's in Long Beach.
That's what I said.
Yeah, Nebraska.
Long Beach.
Okay. Anyways, this was an ocean liner that was launched in 1934. It made its maiden voyage in 1936 during World War II, and it was converted into a trooper ship, I guess I should say, earning the nickname the Gray Ghost for its speed and stealth.
Whoa.
Yeah, and after the war, it resumed passenger service until its retirement in 1967.
Whoa, okay.
And this is located in Long Beach. We used to go. It's so funny, because when I lived in Brea... We used to go to the Queen Mary for everything. Like, we would be like, oh my gosh, they're going to do fireworks on the 4th of July. Let's go to the Queen Mary. Because you could just be on the Queen Mary. You can watch them from outside, you know? Or let's go to dinner on the Queen Mary. Oh, let's take our friends that came to visit from Utah to the Queen Mary.
So it was a good, like, people out of town or whatever. It was a good place to go.
Yeah, and then they also have the Ghosts and Legends Tour, which I have done several times, which is really cool because they talk about, like, each of the areas on the ship. Like, they'll take you to, like, the pool where it's heard that people are swimming in the pool, but there's no water in it, you know?
So wild. You believe wholeheartedly in, like, this stuff, right?
Oh, I totally believe in ghosts.
Being haunted and ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Have you ever gone to a cemetery at night and, like, with a ghost reader?
Not with a EMF detector or anything like that. But I have one on my phone.
Really? He has like one that he...
Like a real like EMF detector. Oh my gosh. Skylar, where are you? You need to get your butt over here and we need to...
Salt Lake City?
Yes.
One in the Avenue Cemetery?
Oh my gosh.
Whoa.
That one would be so cool. Like the Salt Lake Cemetery, done. Yeah. I'm there.
Beautiful.
It is so pretty. It's getting cold though, so I don't know. Anyways, okay, so I want to talk about like some of the places on the Queen Mary. So the stateroom B340 is one of the most haunted rooms. There's like flickering lights.
Flickering lights isn't too scary.
No, but like when you like, have you ever like laid there? Like, have you ever like laid there and think, is somebody in here?
Yes, I've laid that. And then I have that feeling every night. And then I'm like, oh, it's Bella.
The pool, like I said, there's a little girl named Jackie with sightings of a woman in her 1930s bathing suit. And they were telling me about like people swimming and stuff when I was there.
Why is it always older people that are like, you know, how come it's not?
Well, this is a little girl named Jackie was there.
No, I mean like how come it's like old school, like 1930, it's like all old stuff. How come there's not like a ghost from like Jersey Shore era? She's like, hey bitches. It's like always like a 1930s thing.
I have no idea. The engine room, and I remember going through the engine room, was haunted by the spirit of a crew member who was crushed by a weighted door. And I remember them telling me this story.
Damn. Crazy. Yeah.
And a lot of people here reporting hearing screams, which is kind of crazy.
Screams would be weird.
Yeah. The garden lounge.
Like, have you ever been, wherever you're at, like, there's been a few times in my life where I've heard,
a scream.
A scream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. There's the garden lounge. Staff have reported seeing a woman in the 1940 style gown, then who vanishes.
Ooh. See, it's always 19. See, it's always people from
the 30s and 40s and the 20s.
It's not like a 2007 Britney Spears girl.
Now, the shaft alley. This is a ghost of a crew member who was killed in the engine room, who's been seen walking the length of the alley. That would be a trip, just seeing somebody in like period clothing just like walking. You'd be like, yeah, that's weird, you know. There's Lady in White. A spectral figure of a woman in white is reported to have been seen dancing in the first class lounge. That would be cool too, to see somebody like dancing, because you would be like, oh, they're not paying attention to me, they're just doing their own thing, you know. Okay, so the next one I have is, actually, there's two more. Have you ever been to Alcatraz?
No.
So fun. Okay, so since I'm from the Bay Area, this is something I would do often. So what you can do is you can, like, I used to take people, and then they have the Blue and White Fleet, and you can, like, take a ship over and go to do the tour.
Oh, that'd be so amazing.
I know. So, okay, the history of Alcatraz. It was a military fortress in the 1850s.
1850? Damn, that was so long ago. I mean, it really wasn't, but like...
Yeah, but it was a military fortress. And then it's this little island outside of San Francisco, and it just sits in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, it's unescapable.
Well, wow. There was an escape that happened, and we're going to talk about that.
Wasn't it shark infested?
It is shark infested. So the Bay Area waters are very shark infested. Yeah. And then in 1934, it became a maximum security federal prison. So they had Al Capone, Machine Kelly.
Al Capone. Dang.
Yeah. And it closed in 1963 due to high operating costs. It was a lot to like operate that place.
It's far out there, isn't
well,
it?
And well, it's no, it's not. It's only like 2 miles out from like the actual shore, so it's like not far.
If you're gonna swim it, it's.
Oh yeah, that's far. But if you think about it, like from shore, every time you had to like take somebody, you had to go from okay, we have to get on a boat. Now we have to take you out there. Oh, you're getting out. We have to take you back.
Oh yeah.
Everything had to be shipped like in, like food and everything like that.
Yeah.
So in 1960, there was the Frank Morris, there were three people that escaped from.
There were three?
Well, they did it as a team. They were like, okay, we're going to escape. And they like did all this crazy stuff to like escape. They like created out of paper mache these like heads that look like heads with hair. Yes. And it was real hair. Like when they would cut their hair, they would keep the hair that like would be cut and fall on the floor, so they can glue it onto the head of this paper mache. So like when they laid it down on the bed, when they did the bed checks,
it would look like they're actually sleeping.
Yeah, and it would look like a real person.
Wild.
It was kind of crazy. And you know, those three have never been found.
They probably are shark food.
Well, and that and that's one of the theories out there. But it has been said.
And what year was it in the news?
This was like, let's see. I think it was 1960, 1961.
So it would have been a lot easier back then to be like off the, like if, you know, like nowadays, if you escape from prison, there's no way, and you make it out alive.
They're going to kill you.
They're going to catch you. Yeah. Yeah. Where back then, it was amazing. Like, no, my name's not Al Capone. I'm Matthew Perry.
But some of the things that have happened there are like visitors will report whisperings, moans, cries, and footsteps. Or chains rattling, which is kind of a trip.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But Alcatraz had horrible conditions. Like
well, especially back then. They didn't care about
them. Yeah, but it was more like they treated their people, like, they treated them really bad. And they, like, would throw people in solitary confinement, you know? And it just has such a dark history.
Oh, yeah.
Sightings. So ghostly apparitions have been reported, including shadow figures, a ghost woman, which was seen on camera in 2014, which is interesting because there weren't women at the prison.
Yeah.
Inmates who died during the escaped attempt have reportedly been seen near the laundry room. So I guess people did die that tried to escape.
Oh, I can't imagine how difficult that would have been. I wonder here, what's your theory about the three people that escaped? Did they escape or were they shark food?
I kind of think that they might have escaped, but then again, their raft, they created this raft, right?
How'd they create the raft?
I don't remember what it was created out of, but they created this raft, and the raft was found on the rocks around Alcatraz. So that to me tells me, oh, well, the raft didn't hold up. So at that point, they would have had to swim.
Oh, can you imagine swimming 2 miles in shark-infested waters? I'd be
in the pitch black, because you remember, they escaped at night. It was the pitch black when they did.
How terrifying would that be?
Oh, that would be horrible. And the water in San Francisco is so cold. It doesn't matter what time of year it is. Like, and I don't remember what month this was that this happened, but the water is so cold. Like, you probably would have died of hypothermia.
Yes. Hypoglycemia.
But no body was ever found.
Well,
not even a piece of a body. And a lot of, like, animals, like sharks and stuff like that, they're not going to eat your head. They're not going to eat your, you know?
Sure. They might have lived.
Yeah.
You know, sharks don't feed at night.
What?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I was like, what? Okay. One more.
Okay.
Let's see. So the next one was, have you ever been to the Winchester Mystery House in San Jose?
It's cool.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, being from the Bay Area, the Winchester Mystery House, let me tell you a little bit about the Winchester Mystery House. The Winchester Mystery House was owned by Sarah and William Winchester. Winchester was the person who created the firearm, Winchester firearm.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. After his death, Sarah Winchester went to a tarot reader, and the tarot reader told her,
what year?
Oh, gosh. This was, let's see, I don't even remember what year this was.
But a long time.
Yeah.
So they had tarot readers back then?
Oh, yeah.
I guess they had.
Oh, yeah.
Witches.
So basically, she went to this tarot reader. The tarot reader said, basically, as long as you continue to build on your house, that the spirits of the people that were killed by the Winchester rifles will never be able to haunt you.
Whoa.
Because Sarah Winchester literally thought that all the people that had died by the Winchester firearm were going to haunt her.
Can you imagine?
So she continued, she bought this big, huge mansion in San Jose, and she continued to build. And she would build and build and build and build. And this mansion ended up so big, they had staircases to, like, nowhere. Like, you'd open the door, and it would be, like, a wall.
Oh, weird.
Because
there's all these people.
Right. And she was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to continue to build. So as long as that happened, nothing would harm her, okay?
Wow.
Yeah, but there's been reports of, like, sightings and paranormal activity, EMF detectors. I have done every single tour because it's so huge. There's, like, multiple tours you can do.
Oh, that's wild.
I know, but it's so beautiful. And when the 1906 earthquake happened in San Francisco, she got trapped in one of her rooms.
And she died in there?
She did not die. No. Oh. But she was trapped and couldn't move, couldn't get out. She had to be rescued.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's insane. That reminds me of, you know, when you just keep building and you're going to keep, and you're going to be safe. That's like whenever you say that, if I kill a spider, it's going to join me in heaven. Or what did you say?
I said something, like, I'm just like, if I kill a spider, like you killed that spider right here the other day, right? I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to live with you forever now. It's going to be there to greet you when you die. Now, this is not, this is not scripture. This is just Olivia's, like, twisted, like, I was just thinking, what would happen if you just, like, you passed away and then all of a sudden you're greeted by, hi, Jet, remember me? You stepped on me. You squished me.
And then, like, right when it greets you, it's, like, licking its lips. It's like, what are you doing? Remember when you killed me? I was getting ready to eat a fly. And then you stepped on me. I'm here to step on you, and keep in mind, I have 8 legs. I can step on you 8 times.
Ew, disgusting. Okay. Well, that's all I have for us. I mean, it was fun. Thanks for joining.
Happy Halloween. It's River Phoenix Day, and it's Elvis Day. No, Elvis didn't die.
No, he didn't.
But.
So anyways, this was fun.
This was a hoot.
Everybody have a good Halloween. Everybody be safe out there, and stay warm.
Stay warm, be cool, it's a crazy world, be aware of your surroundings, and know what's going on at all times.
Okay, yes, that is true. And don't eat candy that's not wrapped.
Yes.
There's some crazy people out there.
There is. I know, my mom used to tell me that growing up. She's like, I want to inspect the candy. I'm like, you looked at it for a second and let me have it.
All right, well.
One, two, three.
Bye.